Welcome everyone, we've got to give us Hashem, BPJ number 113, that's by Sfimi, joint share number 113. We're talking about when you do quarrel and argue, how to do it wisely. And another Eitzah he gives is wait before responding at any provocation. Force yourself to wait. When your husband or wife first throw something at you, and that's the fiercest wave of anger of something that you come across, that they're firing at you, and you feel in yourself a defensiveness and a certain flash of anger, wait. Wait and allow it to pass. One of, in Pirkei Avos, Perek, Hey, Pasuk, Mishnah, Tes, says a wise person has seven midos. One of them is not to answer back rashly. So that is a very key thing. Hold it in while the initial shock of it or the initial knee-jerk reaction of the defense mechanisms and your ego kicking in and you're about to shoot off and say something, hold back. Also, and this is one real something that turns things on ahead, but it is true, while you're in an argument or disagreement, consider that as crazy as it may sound at the moment, your spouse actually may be right. You can develop the ability to shift your position and perspective and consider that possibility. Maybe your spouse is right. And maybe you are wrong. You need to accept that as a possibility and don't do it half-heartedly. It requires, again, like we said before, self-esteem, healthy self-esteem, a healthy self-worth, and hard work to transcend yourself for a moment. Even if later in the argument, you ultimately decide that you were indeed right, nevertheless, it's very important to momentarily consider, maybe I'm wrong. You know why? Because if you momentarily consider for real, maybe I am wrong, that will give you some insight into the other side of the argument. It'll give you some true insight into what your husband or wife's perspective is. That there's something that very often could be very legitimate there. And once you hop that, once you see there's another side, there's already a road to a resolution. There's already a road to a reconciliation. Unless you're dealing with outright, extreme, toxic abuse, where the abuser is 100% wrong and the abused is 100% right. It happens, unfortunately. But again, we're talking about the majority of us. It doesn't exist. If you're 100% right, then you're wrong. There's no such thing as 100% right or 100% wrong in the interpersonal beinadam lechaveray. And if you think you're 100% right, when you're dealing with two individuals that are good people but flawed, then that should tip you off that there's something off in your thinking. That you're being intolerant, that you're being fearful, that you're being self-serving, or that you're just plain wrong. People are convinced, tragically and pathologically, of their absolute rightness. And they have this self-serving way of talking. I know I'm not perfect, but in their mind they know I'm perfect. I'm sure I own some piece of this issue, and in your brain you're saying, I'm not no fault at all. Or those don't mean a thing, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just empty, empty words. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as 100% right. If you think you're 100% right, there's something off. The Gemara Sanhedrin, the Yedzayin Amud Aleph, says this Yisoid with a Sanhedrin. If all the judges, all of them, say they're wrong, goes out free. Why? Because that means that the judges didn't exert themselves sufficiently to find, without a shadow of a doubt, some piece of evidence that may point to the defendant's innocence. An absence of any doubt in the judges regarding the defendant's guilt shows that they didn't consider all possible angles. Kulei chayiv zakai. That's the Gemara Sanhedrin, Yedzayin Amud Aleph. If he's judged to be completely guilty, he's acquitted. There's no such thing as being 100% right. Not by a Sanhedrin and not in marriage, and not in any close interpersonal interaction, especially with loved ones. If the two of you get into it, then you contributed somehow. It may have been 20%, 10%, 50%, 40%, 8%. And your inability to identify even anything of it, and without acknowledging you may have contributed to a certain degree, that's to protect your ego. Only cowards can't afford to be wrong. Only weaklings can't afford to admit responsibility. A strong, confident person with healthy self-worth, healthy self-esteem, can shoulder responsibility of a problem without falling apart. Their husband and wife deeply, deeply upset them, but they are strong and confident in their self-worth and in their value as a human being to say, they may be wrong, but let's see, did I do anything to contribute? Did I behave in any way that created some of this problem? And you look into your reserves. That's why you need healthy self-esteem. And in the nekuda that you are wrong, you acknowledge. When you realize, let's say you are wrong, you look at your spouse in the eye and smile and humbly and good-naturedly say, you know, I was wrong here. Or I overreacted, at the very least. You know, I thought you were 100% wrong and unreasonable. Now I see that there was a cause for you being upset. You can't overestimate the importance of such a maneuver when it happens. It brings goodwill into a marriage. It's huge. And very often you are wrong. Maida ala emes. That's another one of the seven midas of a chacham in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey Mishnates. You admit the truth. You admit the truth. Ashamnu means recognizing our error. And in spite of this, maintaining our position rather than admit the truth. That's what it means that we have erred. We have erred means I recognize an error and I didn't acknowledge it. I didn't admit it. Mishlei says, actually Yirmiyah says it in the beginning, Hinei Nishpat Isach, on the fact that you said Lo Chatasi. That's what I'm upset about. When you're wrong, admit you're wrong. If you cover your faults all the time, you will not succeed. Look in Mishlei Chav Ches Perakid. If you would confess, you'll find rachamim. And the Vilna Gaon says on that pasuk that if you sin against your friend and you say, I did nothing wrong, you will not be matzliach, for your friend will certainly pay you back in kind. As the other person was hurt, he will hurt you. But if one confesses their wrongdoing and says, I admit that I sinned against you, and please forgive me because I regret what I did, and I'm abandoning that kind of behavior and I will never repeat it, then the Vilna Gaon says that the fellow will be compassionate to him and will forgive him. A proper, healthy apology heals marriages. If you wisely choose to apologize, once you hop that you were wrong, once you caught on that you made mistakes, don't rush the apology just to be yaitze b'dieved. And if you have good self-esteem and you work on yourself, you're able to do it. It won't kill you. And it's very rewarding. You give your spouse the time and the dignity and open-heartedness to work through the emotional turmoil that your spouse is experiencing. You don't always have to answer. You listen. Your wife or husband may vent or show they're upset. And they even try to say, you don't know how much you hurt me. It really hurt. And you just listen and you're empathetic. That's a success. That's a victory. Not easy to hear all this. It's a victory. You're becoming stronger and kinder and a better person. If you try to circumvent this process and apologize quickly, I'm sorry, and shut down further discussion, it creates a rift. You don't do that. You take the longer, shorter road. You take the not as easy, but more rewarding path. allow the apology to be full. If you know you were wrong, no excuses, no buts. I'm sorry, but no, I'm plain and old sorry. And you express it and you allow your husband or your wife to express their hurt and you swallow it and you say, you're right and I am sorry. I will work on it and give them all that time. You will see that will create a tremendous amount of healing. A tremendous amount of healing. Another aspect is to check your emotions at the door to keep you cool. This is not always easy, but it's an excellent skill to acquire. And again, like everything else, we mention it from time to time. We should mention it more often. You daven to Hashem for help. Emotionally leaving a situation doesn't mean you withdraw your emotional interest or investment in the process. That would be disastrous. Withdrawing is never a good solution. But you breathe deeply, you get yourself in an emotionally safe space, and you want to be as open and non-defensive as possible. And don't smirk, don't be smug, don't be scornful, don't be deceitful. Let your body communicate interest and involvement, but without getting overly emotional. If you say all the right words in the world, but if your tone and body language shows disdain or anger, your spouse will catch on right away and it'll create a rift. Words carry a small percentage of the emotional content. Your body and tone communicates almost everything. So make sure that your words of apology and your tone matches. Otherwise, your spouse will recognize that you're being disingenuous, that you're really ignoring your words. They will ignore your words because your words mean nothing. If you put on a sour face and say, I'm sorry, they're going to see you're really not sorry. Can't be fake. It has to be real. Try to reach that safe space where you're ready to do this. Sometimes you may have to say, you know, I'm really upset about this. It'll take me a little time to get over it. I love you, but I need a little more time. Now, research showed that in good marriages, a couple repairs quickly, so you could take a day or two, but try to do it faster than that, as quick as you can. Even a couple hours later, you calm down and try to repair whatever needs to be repaired. So these yesaidas here are extremely important. Wait before responding when you feel your defenses go up. Consider the fact that your spouse may be right, and somehow get muster the strength and the self-esteem to transcend yourself and acknowledge there is another side here. And my wife or my husband may be right and see that other side and gain insight to that other side of the argument. Even if you end up being right, you will still have a balanced view and you'll see there's an aspect of your spouse's perspective that's legitimate, which will lead to a resolution and a reconciliation. And when you are wrong and you apologize, apologize fully. Don't rush it. Listen, be empathetic. And know how on one hand not to withdraw, but on the other hand, check your emotions and make sure you're in control of them and not overreacting. Bracha v'atzlacha.